everybody, welcome back to The Lowdown. This is episode number 9 of The Lowdown. Today is Saturday, May 22nd, 2010. And as always, I am joined by my boy, Bobby Rogue. Bobby, what's going on?
What's happening, Carlos? Feeling much better this week. I don't know if the audience heard us, but I think both of us were a little bit under the weather the last time we recorded. But we're back in full effect, episode 9, and I'm especially happy because that means we're almost about to record episode 10.
I know that's going to be a big milestone, the beginning of a beautiful future for The Lowdown. So let's talk about a whole bunch of stuff going on TV right now. Let's start out with some show cancellations. So I think we called it, you heard it here first. We said that Heroes was probably going to get canceled, and lo and behold, it got canceled. Bobby, tell me what you think about Heroes being canceled.
Well, first off, shout out to my boy Carlos, who did put the survey on our website, lowdownradio.com, should Heroes return for another season. And I believe the unanimous vote was it wasn't going to return. And you know what I think? I think they shouldn't return. I do think they need to tie up the storyline, maybe a two-hour, you know, a movie of the week, something. But I'll tell you, man, the first season of Heroes, it was popping. It was rocking. The world was excited. Everybody was going to the cons, looking at the panels, talking to everybody. My favorite hero, of course, was the Asian character. He was pretty cool. What was his name again? That's how bad the show was.
Hero? His name was Hero.
Yeah, Hiro Nakamura.
Yep.
Loved him. Loved him. He was cool. The cheerleader was cool. Second season kind of started to suck. But you know what? I got to tell you, to be honest with you, I was a little bit taken aback because I think it got canceled when I kind of felt it was about to start in the up and up. I personally loved the season of the Carnival.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I dug that too much because I was, it was too much about Siler trying to find himself, and he just wasn't Siler anymore. And I think they just went wrong with that whole character, whatever development thing you want to call it. It sucked.
That's a very good point. Siler should be the supervillain, and then the series should have had like other villains, but Siler should always be the guy that keeps coming back. Yeah. Like Darth Vader, like Khan in Star Trek, like the Joker in Batman, like the Green Goblin in Spider-Man. And no, they gave him a human side, and everybody knows that once you become human, then it means the end. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch the season finale of V.
Yeah, you know what? I don't. I'm sad that it's ended because I was really hoping that it would come back around and maybe get a little bit better. I can't say I'm surprised though. I mean, we did call it. We saw it kind of going downhill, and it's been going downhill ever since the first season. But you kind of always hope that they'd kind of pull it out and make it work, but it didn't work this time. There's been a lot of talk about maybe creating a 2-hour series finale to kind of tie up all the loose ends. I wish they would have did that with Terminator, well, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, but it wasn't, I don't know. I don't even expect them to really do that for the fans. I mean, it could be like a Firefly thing. I mean, if you remember Firefly, when Firefly got canceled, there was such a big outcry that they ended up doing the Firefly movie. So maybe this will kind of go down the same path. Who knows?
Very true, very true, very true. But with that said, I'm hoping, and I think the rest of the internet world and the regular world, or the galaxy for that fact and that matter, is that we hope these networks get with it and give us some brand new shows, man, because Lost is gone. Who else is gone? Obviously Heroes is gone. Yeah, but we don't really have a lot of TV shows out there.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
A lot of it's all wrapped up into the reality show stuff, and that's what most of the networks are concentrating their stuff on. But another big show that got canceled that I kind of was personally disturbed about, and we never really talked about this show on The Lowdown, but I was a big fan of Law & Order, and I'm a big fan of all the spinoffs of Law & Order, Criminal Intent, and SVU, and I heard that they're going to make a Law & Order Los Angeles. I don't know how true that is, but after 20 seasons, I think, they finally canceled Law & Order. That's another show that kind of started going downhill, too, but they just had a good recipe, man. I mean, some episodes were better than others. Some episodes kept you on the seat of your pants, and I'm one of the guys that are always watching the Law & Order marathons on TNT or USA or whatever channels they come on, man, I'm really kind of sad to see it go. And the part that I'm even more sad about is since they canceled it right at the end of the season, they didn't really set up a final Law and Order to, you know, kind of the series finale. It's just going to end with a random episode, and then that's going to be it. So they really didn't even give it any justice the way they ended it.
Reminds me of one of my favorite TV shows. Was a big fan of Boston Legal. That was a spinoff of another popular show. They decided to cancel it. And my two favorite characters, even though they were the best as the friends, they made an angle where they got married to each other because they were such good buddies. And then the show ended and that was it.
Yeah.
Not a proper send-off. Hopefully your show gets at least a better send-off than Boston Legal. I have heard many people talk about this drama, and it is a shame to see something so good go by way of, like you said before, the reality show, which is obviously much cheaper to make.
Yeah. And another one that was up on the chopping block, and I used to catch a little, you know, little bits and pieces of this show, but Flash Forward also got canceled. It was okay. The couple times that I actually watched it, it was pretty good. It wasn't necessarily something that pulled me in and make me want to start recording it, but you know, it didn't seem too bad. I'm really kind of surprised to see this one canceled too, but you know, it might, you know, I wouldn't even, you know, would you necessarily call Flash Forward a sci-fi type thing? I mean, it was kind of doing a little bit of sci-fi, you know, the way they were kind of doing it, but, you know, maybe not completely wrapped in a sci-fi wrapper.
Yeah, definitely not a sci-fi wrapper. I think that what you now have is something kind of like sort of sci-fi, sort of mythical, sort of magical, you know, slash drama, sometimes a little bit of comedy. Obviously a formula that Lost used and was successful with. I feel bad for the fans of this show due to the fact that when it first started after its pilot episode, they got like an initial order of a handful of episodes and then they said they weren't going to move on with the show anymore. Then the networks needed to plug in, you know, some shows in their broadcast schedules. So they ordered another batch. So it started looking like the show was going to get life. Next thing you know, the season's over and now they're not back.
Yeah.
Poor show. Hopefully some of the new shows that will be introduced in the fall, hopefully there will be a gem, but it's not looking so great.
Yeah. Well, speaking of shows ending, and this was a big season finale week. And you know, we're going to get into the big part of our show and kind of something we've been looking forward to all week. We've been sending text messages to each other as we've been watching these finales. And man, it's what an epic. This is probably the best finale week I can ever remember of any year that I've been alive. That, man, this week was awesome. So let's talk about Smallville. Now, I'm not a big Smallville fan. I know you are. So tell me a little bit about the season finale of Smallville.
Oh my. Well, first off, if you don't know what Smallville fans are, this is a live show, so sometimes little faux pas come out of my mouth. Let me correct myself and start all over. For those of you that don't know out there, internet, Smallville is the beginning life essentially of Superboy, Clark Kent, growing up in his town of Smallville, where characters come and go and visit. And usually these characters are from the Justice League of America, or they will become his arch enemies, like Doomsday or Lex Luthor, for instance. They come around and they like to visit. Smallville has been around for 9 seasons. It just got greenlit for a 10th and final season. So, hey, props to the crew at Smallville for going 10 years strong. But they had a season finale where the Justice League of America came back into play. So you get to see cool characters like Cyborg, like Hawkman. You see the Green Arrow. We've seen the Flash visit. We've seen Aquaman visit. Just an array of characters that come through Smallville, which makes it really, really cool and really dives into what the comic, you know, really talks about. So at the end of the show, you saw a big comic character called Granny Goodness appear. And we're not sure it's her, but everybody pretty much knows it's her, and we're going to see the season start with that. But Superman was also battling his arch nemesis from the movies, which was General Zod, which is pretty cool if you watch the Superman movies. So props out to Smallville. Another thing that I really wanted to talk about, again, and you guys have heard me say this on the broadcast before, is my love for TiVo. Because TiVo now, I think, and I hope the networks are listening and are going to send me those royalty checks once again, is that TiVo can kind of be used for Easter eggs, dude. And this is why I say it, because TiVo has a function where you can go super slow. And I was watching Smallville, and somebody was having a dream during the show.
Yeah.
And during the show, I saw like a red and black blur go through the sky.
Yeah.
So I rewinded it. I hit TiVo, and it was actually Superman flying through the sky. I thought that was awesome. That's... And if unless you did, you had TiVo and super, super slow motion, you would not have been able to see that. But here's another cool thing that happened in the comic book. In the comics, Superman's mother makes the Superman costume and gives it to him.
Yeah.
Well, in the season finale, Superman receives a gift. And he opens the gift, and he picks it up with his hands, and the audience cannot see it. And he just smiles. And I had a sneaking suspicion that it was Martha Kent who had just sent Superman her costume. And, of course, this was before we found out that they were only going to film one more season. So I picked up my trusty TiVo remote, rewound, played it in super, super slow motion. And when he opens up the gift, even though they don't show it to the raw lens, if you look into the pupils of Superman, you can see the Superman costume reflecting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pretty cool things that they're – that Easter eggs that they're putting in there for you. So run out and get your TiVo, man, because internet, if you don't have one already, you are missing out. And don't try to tell me that you like the Comcast DVR, because that's not a TiVo standard.
I don't get how can he be fighting General Zod? I mean, unless, you know, there's something different in the comic book than what we saw in the movies, which probably there is, but I don't get how he could be fighting Zod.
Good question, good question. It's not General Zod yet. It's a young Zod who happens to visit Smallville, and they escaped from the Phantom Zone. So that's the storyline that they're using, that Zod from the Phantom Zone visits Smallville, and... You know, they're talking with each other, but they're not arch enemies yet.
But he was, but in the movies, he was, Zod got trapped in that zone before Superman was even, well, as like when he was a baby.
Correct. Correct. Zod got trapped in that zone when he was a baby. So in the Smallville storyline, timeline, they're saying that before he was General Zod, you know, he came out of the Phantom Zone. He visited Smallville. And I can only assume before the season of Smallville, season 10 is over, you know, Clark Kent will trap him again in the Phantom Zone and send him off on his way.
Okay, I guess. So, I mean, there's still some discrepancies there because Zod was an enemy of Superman's father and Zod was already, you know, older in the movies. But I know you got to take the movies with a grain of salt because they're not, you know, canon from comic books.
Yeah, they don't follow the comics as deep. Yeah, and... In Smallville, the way the story goes is that Zod and Superman's father were actually best friends. And Zod was a little bit jealous because Superman's father was a very, you know, a high-quality scientist. And I think Zod saw a little bit of jealousy. So in the episodes of Smallville, they do show flashbacks. And they show that Zod ended up killing Superman's dad, essentially. But yeah, they probably show like different realms, different pieces of galaxy, stuff like that. You see some pretty cool stuff. I mean, we saw the introduction of Jimmy Olsen, you know, as a little boy, you know, with a little bow tie, you know, wearing a camera around his neck. We've seen Zartana come and visit. I am hoping for season 10, Bruce Wayne comes and visits Smallville. I think that would be a great way, you know, to send off Smallville.
Well, yeah, that's pretty cool. So let's talk a little bit about... This season finale kind of caught me kind of weird. So let me give you a little bit of background, and we talked about it a little bit on the phone. But so I watched the first season of Grey's Anatomy over a weekend because I heard it was really good, and me and my wife were really into it. But we never got a chance to catch up with any of the other seasons, and we never bothered because of that. We never bothered even looking at it on TV or recording it. So I was flipping through the channels the other night because I was trying to get my kids to sleep. And I stopped on Grey's Anatomy, and I just saw this guy with a gun kind of walking through the hospital. And I'm like, what the heck? What, you know, what's going on here? This is kind of weird. That was about 15 minutes into the first hour of the show. I did not stop watching that show until it was done. And I was like, holy crap, this episode was awesome. I can't even imagine what it was like for people who actually follow the show and, you know, saw, because there was, you know, I recognized some of the characters, but there was a lot of characters I didn't recognize anymore because they weren't around in the first season. So, you know, you're a Grey's Anatomy fan. Tell me about what you thought of this episode.
It is the best season finale for television, I think, in a very, very long time. A lot of people are comparing it to the Who Shot JR Dallas season finale of the 80s. It was intense, man. I mean, you texted me. You said, hey, have you seen Grey's? I said, nah, I got it on the TiVo. I went home. Within seconds, I was just glued. My heart was pounding. I swear to God, I'm not lying. It was intense, man. It was like a drama, but a horror flick at the same time. And I think for human beings, the worst thing is when you're not seeing a scary guy, you know, going through the forest or going through some house, killing everybody. This was just a normal gentleman shooting down people, taking them out. And the first person he took out was straight point blank. And you saw the bullet hole and everything. It was just nuts.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And I mean, I figured as I started watching it, I kind of figured that this guy probably was around throughout the whole season, and it just kind of culminated into what was going on in that last episode. But man, it was intense. There was a lot of crazy stuff going on in that episode. I couldn't believe how many people died. I couldn't believe how many people got shot. I couldn't believe that they were showing a heart pumping. You know, that was kind of interesting that they did all that.
That was pretty cool. Surgeries going everywhere.
Yeah.
And I guess the motto of the day was, and this is why he was a killer. Are you a surgeon? And yeah. If you said yes, you were going to take some.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and then the way it ended was real interesting, because that one doctor was pretty ballsy, you know, walking in and telling them, well, make you decide, it's me or you, you know, and we all saw how that kind of ended. But sorry, excuse me. But yeah, it was an awesome episode. I mean, that episode was so good, and I'm glad I caught it, that I might actually start watching it next season just to see what happens.
I think a lot of people are going to start watching Grey's Anatomy to see what happens. One of the things that I thought was ironic is that in this season, there was a merger of two hospitals due to the economy, so I thought that was pretty good storyline writing. And there was pretty much Mercy West, which is, you know, the Grey's Anatomy crew that we're used to seeing. And then there was Mercy East, the new characters. I started liking all the characters. But this freaking serial killer showed up in the finale and took them all out.
Yeah.
So I guess that solves that problem.
you know, the part that was cool, and it, I think the power of social media never ceases to amaze me. But as I was watching it, I had Twitter up, and of course everyone was blowing up Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, I use TweetDeck so I can see my Twitter feeds and I can see my Facebook friend statuses at the same time. And it was cool how everyone was like, holy crap, this Grey's Anatomy's episode is awesome. I can't believe it. And then when it ended, of course, it really blew up, was like, you know, a whole bunch of people talking about it. But then I stayed up a little bit that night because I was working on something, and it was cool watching the West Coast start watching it, because all of a sudden, you know, that my friends on the West Coast, especially my Facebook friends on the West Coast, started blowing up Facebook about Grey's Anatomy. So it was cool how you could kind of see it as it was going through the different time zones and how they started talking about it, right? And then this was an episode that people were talking about to the next day. I mean, I still had people talking about it, you know, that Friday morning. Or was it Friday or Thursday? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Whatever the next morning was, it was awesome. And me and you were, you know, texting back and forth about it, because I was trying to mess with you and telling you everybody died. But, yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was cool how the social media thing really took into play and kind of, you know, let the reactions happen real time.
Yeah. And just for, you know, serious creators that are out there that are hurting in ratings, it just goes to show you, you know, that a TV show can rebound, you know, with some great writing.
Yeah.
I think Grey's Anatomy, you know, they were sucking pretty bad. I mean, two of their more popular characters quit the show. They didn't want to return anymore,
yeah.
You know, and they became stars because of Grey's Anatomy. You know, George last season, he left the show because he didn't like how his character was being portrayed. And then Katherine Heigl, the biggest star out of that show, you know, took off. So we're hoping now that they create an awesome fan base, because I'll definitely be watching. And I remember about 6 months ago, one of my buddies was like, do you still watch that crap show, Grey's Anatomy? Because we sometimes the storyline for Grey's Anatomy, I remember when people started getting turned off, you know, it was like Meredith Grey. The theme of the show was that now she was going to stop having sex, and she was just going to start take out a needle and yarn, and she was now going to sew. And yeah, that was the whole episode saying, oh, I sew. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Even chicks don't like this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
Man, yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. But how about one of the crazier ones, man? Let's talk about V.
Yeah, so.
And it doesn't sound for virgin.
So this was my season finale for this week, man, because, of course, if you listen to any of the episodes, you know we love V here in the lowdown. And I don't even know where to start with this episode. This thing was absolutely awesome.
Let's take you through this. Who the hell is good and who the hell is bad?
Oh, I know, man. So, you know, so you've got the one fifth column guy, the mercenary, who's kind of selling secrets to the second NV command. And you're kind of wondering what's really going on with that. So we said a long time ago that we think that second in command guy, of course, I forget his name because I always forget names.
Yeah, with the accent. We'll call him Foreigner.
Right. We think that he's fifth column. But then there were some things in this episode that kind of make you think that he's not fifth column, right? And then we'll talk about one big thing at the end that kind of really throws a monkey wrench in the whole thing. So, you know, he's buying these, somehow some human scientist created some bio thing that is going to could potentially destroy the V's, right? That's really what it comes down to. It was this thing, this pesticide thing, or this thing to help plants grow, but it ended up killing, like, off lizards and all this other stuff, and that's the whole point, right? So the V's want this technology because it's going to harm them. So you've got this guy who stole this technology. He's selling it to the second command of the V, the second in command of the V's. But then you're kind of wondering whether or not he's working for Anna, because Anna never even talks about this. You know, she never even says, you know, do you have this stuff? Or she never even, you know, she's not even mentioning it to anybody, right? So the first thing is you're wondering, who's this guy really working for? The second thing is you got this whole dynamic now between Anna and her daughter. And we said her daughter was going to flip on her. And sure enough, she did. And in a huge way this episode. I mean, come on. You set somebody up to kill all those soldiers. That's your own people. And you just allowed somebody just to wipe them out. What'd you think about all that?
Yeah, you can look at it that way. She just killed her brothers and sisters.
Oh, well, yeah, that too. So, and me and my wife were talking about that. I helped to get into how the V's breed a little bit, because, you know, what makes Anna's daughter so special as opposed to any of the other people that are any of the other visitors that Anna has already bred, you know, like all those soldiers, right? So you would think those soldiers would be royalty, because if Anna's the queen, then whatever, right? One of the most telling parts for me about this episode was when she was talking to Joshua, and she let Joshua out of, after Joshua got caught in the medical center, and she let Joshua out of that force field, he bowed to her and he said, my queen, or he said something, thank you, my queen. Yep. Or
yeah, exactly. That was badass,
man. I was like, holy crap. My wife thought I was crazy for thinking that was such a big deal. That is such a huge deal.
It was such a huge line. That was probably one of the biggest lines that Jacob delivered. I mean, is it Jacob or Joshua?
Joshua.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest lines Joshua has ever delivered in that show. And it was so subtle that it was pretty much saying, like, hey, we're going to take over and you're going to rule.
Right. So you see, he pledges allegiance to this lady who he didn't know if he could trust up until that point. And then he realizes, because of her human emotions, you know, maybe she's going to be a great ally. And man, it was such a great line. And you're right. And it was so subtle, but it was such a cool way of saying, you really see the division now. You really see it setting up for the future where these two are, Anna and her daughter are going to go at it to a point. And you're going to probably see her daughter, you know, ruling the fifth column. And I still say that John May is her father. I still say that. I'm calling it now. John May is Supergirl's father in V.
Yeah. Pretty true. You know, when the line, thank you, my queen, was blurted out, one of the first things that I thought about was the book or the movie now, you know, young Victoria, which is, you know, becomes Queen Victoria. But she was very, very young when she became queen.
Right.
And she learned the ways and became one of the greatest leaders, you know,
right.
Because of the service to her people. And that's all I was thinking about when Supergirl was deemed, you know, queen of the fifth column. I thought that was pretty intense. But how about some other surprises? I mean, okay, so second in command now, you know, Erica Evans' partner, you know, the foreign guy, you know, we don't know if he's good or who's bad. We don't know if you know, the African American character from V, the father, know, of the golden child, I'll call him the golden child. We didn't get to see him, only got to see his little rat tail, but obviously he's a reptilian. Just so much stuff. I mean, that guy's wife just got killed.
Right.
And then puzzlingly, I mean, I don't even know where we should even start. And then puzzlingly of all was the last line of the season finale. Welcome back.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Ryan. And, you know, Ryan ended up back on the ship, and then he ended up kind of, you know, I thought it was kind of cool how he grabbed Anna and started choking her out a little bit. But then, you know, he let go. And what I think
is a Vulcan death grip.
Right. So what I think is happening is she's using his human emotion against him. She's using her because he's very vulnerable right now. He just lost his wife. He knows deep down that Anna killed her. And now that he has this child, so now he's got a lot of emotion for this child, but she's pulling him back into the fold, right? To become, you know, one of the V's again. And then, of course, she's just manipulating him because she wants to study him. And she said it so much in the movie, but now you're like, man, what is this dude going to do? You know, did he just flip sides or what? You know, because all the fifth column guys are trusting this guy, right? Mm-hmm. So when that might be, you had mentioned before, I can't remember, did we talk about this on the show? But when you said...
I had said originally that I think he's John May.
Yeah.
That's why we don't know. Yeah. So, you know, that can be crazy too.
So just to recap, what Bobby's theory is that John May actually killed the original Ryan and then took on Ryan's form. Because remember, they can put on human skin and they could probably make themselves look in any way they want to. And that he really thinks he's John May, but I don't know. I think that kind of maybe goes all out the window now, unless he's, you know, playing the role. You know, maybe this is a way for, and this could be another thing too, regardless of this is really Ryan or John May, maybe he's pretending to fall back into line with the V's because he's looking at this as an opportunity to gain access back on the ship and then start infiltrating again from within.
Yeah, that is a very smart point to bring up. I hope that happens. You know, I get so confused now, Carlos. I think everybody now is John May. When I heard at the end of the episode, you know, welcome back, my friend, I was like, okay, so I know who that is, but is it John May and it's really inside that body? Oh, I'm an emotional wreck when it comes to that. It was a solid finale. How about Anna and her human emotion?
Yeah. You know, that was very unexpected, and I didn't expect her to happen at all. And what does that really mean? Because, you know, she was basically eliminating any of the V's who had showed any bit of a human emotion. And now she did it, you know, in a big way. And I was like, wow, did she really just show human emotion? And then if you look at the previews for the next season, you know, she's talking about vengeance and, you know, she made the sky orange and all this other stuff. And she.
Yep.
So.
And I was about to say that when you look at humans and you look at these, you know, all obviously make-believe aliens. Is if you kind of think about it, that during the entire season, Anna rallied the troops, but they were in outer space waiting patiently.
Right.
And she was dissecting the humans, waiting for the right time to strike. And now that she has this human emotions, and we all know what happens around the world in the United States and the rest of the world is because our human emotions take over, we're more apt to go to war quicker.
Yep.
And that's what I saw. Like all of a sudden she was like, that's it. Everybody's going down.
Yep. Yep. And I think this next season, you're going to see the war really begin, you know, and the V's probably going to show their true colors. And what I'm thinking is happening is I think they probably have the plan already and when they're going to end it. And I don't foresee the show going many seasons. I, you know, maybe 4 or 5 seasons at the most. But you can kind of see the war is going to about to get started and all, what does all that really mean?
Yep. I'm starting to also notice similarities between the 80s show. I love the 80s show. I think it's still one of the better shows. But do you know the name of Anna's right-hand man? I always forget his name because he's just so,
yeah,
you know.
I just can't remember his name either.
He's so robotic. I like just to call him Mr. Roboto.
Yeah.
But in the original series, I can't believe I watched it when I was like 5 years old, but I remember everybody's names. In the original series, Anna, the head of the people, her name was Diana.
Yep.
And her right-hand man was Martin. And Martin became Fifth Column.
Did he?
Yeah. So if they're kind of following along the same storyline, then this guy, if it tells us anything, that he's Fifth Column and then he brought back, you know, Joshua back to life.
Right.
As far as the Red Sky goes, that kind of threw me off. I think that was just homage to the original show. Because back whenever you saw a red sky in the original series, that means that the Fifth Column or the humans, they would throw out this red dust out into the sky, and that would kill the reptiles. So I thought that was kind of trippy. I think they were just paying homage to that.
And you know, that could be you know, it still could be, because you know what they end up doing is they end up pulling a bunch of clips together to make it seem like one thing, and it's actually something completely different. But it's just something to pull you in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There was so many good characters in the original series. There was also a guy named Willie. He was like a good guy, and then there was a family. There was so many different characters. There was a teenager, you know, that. And so I'm hoping that we get to see all these characters, because the original series was a huge cast, I think even bigger than Lost.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that in season two, they just show us something else.
Well, you know, and I was, you know, talking a little bit about her second in command and whether he's fifth column and the whole thing with Joshua. You know, I was pretty disappointed that Joshua died, right? I was like, man, I really liked his character. I thought he was good. How are they going to be on the ship now? And then he got brought back to life at the very end. But you still don't know whether it's for a good reason or for a bad reason, right?
Yep, yep. And that's what I thought, you know, because when Erica Evans shot him, I thought, wait a minute, he didn't disappear in a black dust. And then I thought, oh, okay, he got hit by bullets, just like, you know, the pirate did
right.
opening episode. So they were able to bring him back.
Yep, so they brought him back. And, you know, there was a whole crap load of people in that room bringing him back, and, you know, all the medical technicians and everything. Yeah. So
you never know. I mean, for, you know, the wool could have been pulled over our eyes. As far as we know, they're just about to dissect the crap out of him now.
Yeah, you know, and... You know, there were always the glances between her second in command and Joshua. You know, you kind of always were like, are these guys really on the same page or not? So it's that. I think out of everything, that's kind of, I'm looking forward more to that. And I'm really looking forward to her and her daughter, you know, splitting ways and you know, her taking up the mantle of the leader of the fifth column.
Yep. I'm really interested to see what Erica Evanson does, because there is a similar storyline in the original series between, you know, a son and his parents. And in the original series, the guy goes all bad.
No.
Totally goes to the dark side. So that might be that might be a trip, you know. There might be a trade-off, you know. Alien goes good, but human goes bad.
Yeah, and that'd be interesting, because, you know, that's where Anna starts playing him against his own mother and against his own daughter, too. You know, because he's totally in love with the V's and everything about him. So I got a feeling you're going to see him be one of the bad guys.
Thank you, television, for bringing us good sci-fi.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Here's another sci-fi show that I've been watching, dude. And I don't know if you watch it or not, but, you know, the BBC, which doesn't really have a lot of television shows in the United States, has been playing Merlin. And Merlin is on sci-fi, and it is just, I think, a fantastic show.
Yeah, I've heard some good stuff about Merlin. I've seen the commercials, but I never actually tuned into any of it.
I love anything that's medieval. I like anything that's mythology. And, of course, we're talking about, you know, the greatest wizard that ever lived. I don't really know if he lived or not, but in Bobby Rogue's world, he did live.
Yeah. No, I heard it was good. I'd probably like to catch up with it. If I ever got on Netflix, I might get the seasons or whatever. But all right, Bobby, that's... I think that's a wrap for our season finale episode of The Lowdown. If you'd like to learn more about The Lowdown, please visit our website at lowdownradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/lowdownradio. You can follow Bobby on Twitter at twitter.com/BobbyRogue. And I am at twitter.com/CarlosFrevert. Bobby, any last parting words for the internets out there?
Yeah, all I got to say is, hey, internet fans and everybody else around the world, you know, now that the TV season is over, obviously we need to get our news, or we need to get our entertainment, or we need to get our information from somewhere. So I just wanted to give out a shout out to a brand new company that's about to debut their website out in August. And they are called MyViewingLens.com. And what this company's telling me is that instead of newscasters giving you the news from their point of view, that they're going to report micro newscasts from the witness's point of view. And I think that's kind of pretty interesting, you know, to see what this, you know, startup website, startup company is going to do. So shout out to MyViewingLens.com. Check it out. And hey, if you become big, don't forget, you heard it first at Lowdown Radio.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for episode 9 of The Lowdown. And we will check you out later.
Peace.